The fix is in. The Sports Fix.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all day or all week to get in on the fun. The party doesn't stop when we go off the air all week long. The Sports Fix social media sites are your one-stop shop for all things Cleveland sports. Jump over to Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix, and become a fan today because we love fans and they create some of the best sports talk in town, Daddy. You'll enjoy talking to your fellow Cleveland sports fans on the Sports Fix fan page. And if Twitter's your thing, well, you know how we do it. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. It's that simple.
Twitter.com/TheSportsFixCLE, baby.
Chat live with the crew during all your favorite Cleveland sports events, tickets and contests and trivia and so much more. Get with today, The Sports Fix, on social media, Facebook.com/TheSportsFix. Tweet with us at TheSportsFixCLE. Join The Sports Fix on Facebook and Twitter today. Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners on the dial, terrestrial or internet, and our audience is one of the greatest and most receptive audiences in all of radio. The Sports Fix universe is not only listeners of the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Our social media universe expands by the day, all in the prime demographics to help drive your business directly into the winner's circle. Don't take my word for it. The Sports Fix comes with reference upon reference that have done business with us in the past and had some fun along the way. For more information on how we can help you knock your business, event, team, product, or promotion out of the park, email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park. Advertise your product right here on the Sports Fix.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Harry Buffalo. Harry Buffalo North Olmsted presents bike nights every Monday, all summer long. $3 beers and drinks for bikers, $5 pizza and more. Harry Buffalo, join the herd.
Hey Cleveland, this is Anderson Varejão of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You are listening to the Sports Fix.
You are the voice of the Sports Fix. So pick up your phone now and call 216-539-7535. 216-539-7535.
Live in Ohio, it's time to get your fix. The Sports Fix.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeedy. It is that time once again to get your fix, and we are actually, we've kind of changed the format today. We're going to kick things off really fast and hot and heavy here in just a moment. Going to be joined right off the bat by the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight. But what a day. Way to start your day. As I'm sitting here, I've got my show prep laid out for the show and staring me dead in the face. It's just the perfect picture for this morning. Jason Giambi, as he launches again another home run. These Indians, listen. It's just one game. Say the same thing when they lose as we do when they win. But man, I can't wait to get Jonathan Knight on here just to see what he's got to say, because these guys, every time they're left for dead, they scratch their way back. Yesterday, not once, not twice, three times, they fight their way back. They give it away. They tried to lose that game, and no matter how hard they tried to lose, in spite of themselves, they did it once again. And you know what? They did what exactly we said they needed to do after a terrible start to the series. The Indians took 2 out of 3. They finished strong. They move on now with the day off to catch their breath and then continue on with this road trip. Welcome into the Sports Fix, my friends. I am your host, the maestro of the proceedings here each and every weekday at noon, live on the sportsfix.net. J-Rock, you can call me Jerry Myers. That's what my mama named me. You can call me whatever you like, Daddy. Just call me at 216-539-7535 when I open the phone line. See? Like how I did that. Call me anything you like, but call me thankful and glad to have you guys here with me each and every weekday at noon, ready to no neglect. If you're not listening live at noon, all of you on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spreaker, More to come. More to come. Besides, by the way, the big fish. I cannot wait. Hopefully by tomorrow I can make this announcement. But all the ways that you listen to the show, thank you so much for listening into the show today. As I said, sports writer extraordinaire Jonathan Knight's going to be joining us in just about 5 minutes. We're going to talk to JK about these Indians in the last week. Has his opinion changed? I mean, they're 3-3 since the last time Jonathan Knight's on the show. And once again, like I said, every time the pulse is not there, it picks up, it skips a beat, and there you go once again. Yesterday, I'm very anxious to talk to Jonathan Knight about the Indians and talk to you guys about that. BJ Riddell, fantasy football guru, award winner, fantasy football author. He's going to join us each and every week, each and every Thursday, of course. He's been here for the last 2 weeks, going to be here live at 12:35 today. We're going to talk about not just the generalities here as we head into the second round of preseason games, but he's going to start his positional breakdowns. Who are BJ Riddell's top five fantasy football quarterbacks and running backs? We start with some marquee positions here on the Sports Fix. Today, BJ Riddell breaks down his top five at both of those positions, and he's already given me a preview, and I'll tell you what, there's going to be some surprises because there's going to be some names left off of that list that are going to make you scratch your head. I cannot wait to talk to BJ Riddell, talk some fantasy football today at 12:35. Of course, the Browns, they're back in action tonight. We sent several listeners to the game tonight. Matter of fact, congratulations once again to Joey C, to Michael Barnes. Congratulations to Kim, her and her husband. You heard their story about their 14 children. An amazing story. They're going to go out and enjoy the game. Congratulations to everybody that won. Some great stories. Glad to have guys heading out and going courtesy of the Sports Fix, not just the Sports Fix, courtesy of Jamie Urso and Tri-State Quality Builders as well. Thank him again for what he did to bring those tickets to you guys. I really appreciate that. Speaking of, Jamie Urso actually just texted me as we're doing the show here. So thanks, Jamie. We're talking about you on the radio. Your ears must have been ringing. So good luck to those guys. Going to have a good game tonight. But we're going to preview that Browns-Lions game, the Great Lakes Classic. Love how they put some significance on a preseason game. But and that trophy. Whew, no offense. That trophy is not exactly something I would put up on the mantle place. It's not the prettiest looking thing. But then again, it's Detroit and Cleveland, so it's probably a perfectly fitting trophy. But there's going to be some things you can take out of tonight's game. There's going to be more, I think, that you can gauge about these Browns tonight than you could last week. Detroit, their front on both sides of the ball is going to put up a more formidable challenge for the Browns. We'll preview Browns a little bit later on in the show. So much more. Let's do what we do. The Sports Fix, brought to you by the Harry Buffalo in North Olmsted. This coming Monday, once again, they continue bike nights each and every Monday, 4:30 on in the evening. Drive your bike, get on your hog or your Harley, head on down there. Every 25th bike in the lot gets a $25 door prize. They've got beer and drink specials, all kinds of food specials, so much more. The party's there. Hey, we say the party doesn't stop when we go off the air on Mondays. After 4:30, the party's at the Harry Buffalo in North Olmsted. Seriously, bikers, enjoy the last little bit of good weather that we've got here the next 4, 5, 6 weeks. Get on out there to the Harry Buffalo. And don't forget, we'll be there live for each and every Browns game this coming football season as well. Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck. Check out my friends Bill Hershey and Bill Opelich out there. They'll take care of your car, your repair needs, no matter whether you drive a truck, a car, compact, luxury vehicle. They'll take care of you. They'll do it quickly. And not only that, they'll work around your schedule, and it's quality work. You got to check them out, quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck, or head on out there, Quick Lane, 5715 Canal Road, out there in Valley View, just under the 480 Bridge, outside of Independence. GV Artwork, they are still celebrating their grand opening this week of the new store out there in Lakewood. You know how much we love GV Artwork, support them all the time, each and every week as well. We give one of you the chance to win a GV Art and Design t-shirt just for sharing what you hear on the show right here. Right now, while you're listening, you can get your name in the hopper. So you can't beat that. You're sitting there listening to the show anyway. Tell somebody to listen to the show. Tell somebody and tag us in it so that we see it. That's the key, because sometimes you don't tag us and we can't see it. tag us in it so we see it, and we put all those names in the hopper, and every Monday, one person, just for spreading the word of a show that you already enjoy listening to, you get a free t-shirt of your choice. That's the cool part. You get to choose the shirt from GV Artwork, and if you don't know about them, check them out, gvartwork.com, the proud makers of Cleveland sportswear all over town. Athletes on every one of our teams sport their GV Artwork gear proudly, so check them out, and use the sales code FIX. And you'll save 10% on any purchase from gvartwork.com. Or you can check out their new location. Like I said, the new store is jamming out there in Lakewood. GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt, it's a statement. And last but not least, Signs and Ship. Our friend Signs and Ship, our location's out in Elyria, Ohio here, the official business printing source of the Sports Fix. Signage, banners, lanyards, yard signs, business cards, promo cards, you name it, whatever you need. If you're starting out, they've got the starter package to get your business going, because you can have the best business in the world, and if you don't promote it, it doesn't matter. Trust me, I'll tell you about that firsthand. They'll take care of you. If you're already in business, they'll take you to that next level like they did for us. They'll give you the ability to expand and promote that business and take it where you know you want it to be. Plus, hey, football teams, general managers, whether it's athletic directors in schools or semi-pro leagues. I know my friends out there play for the Lorain County Nightmares. A shout out to you guys. They take care of you, whether it's uniforms, hats, t-shirts, banners, all the things you need to make your league run, and they can do it cheaply and very well, because their catchphrase is not just a catchphrase, it's reality. Quality printing at affordable prices. So check them out. The website is signsandship.com. You can check them out on the internet as well, on Facebook, facebook.com/signsandship. Talk to Pam and Chris out there in Elyria, or don't forget, they have locations in Fort Myers, Florida, in Virginia, as well as in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania. Signs and Ship. Check my guys out, and I'll tell you more about them later on. All right, guys, we're not going to open up the phone lines yet, because I'm going to the phone lines. Told you we're starting things off a little bit differently. Right off the bat, welcoming onto the Sports Fix, my man, the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight. JK, how you doing this morning, buddy?
Hey, I'm good. I'm like the Michael Bourne of today's show. I'm leading off. I don't usually do this. Usually I'm down in the middle of the order somewhere. I'm down in Michael Brantley territory, but today I'm Michael Bourne.
And your text was great. You were like, hey, man, you can squeeze as much out of me if you want. I'll go on earlier. I said, I want every last drop.
I like Maxwell House, good to the last drop.
That's what you, never mind. I'm not even going to go there. JK, yeah, how you doing
less,
today,
the less said about this, the better.
Yeah, you know, because that could go into a whole nother direction. Welcome to the show, my
family
man.
Show.
Thank God we're on the internet here. FCC, you can't touch us, baby.
That's right. We're free to go.
JK, how you doing this afternoon? I know I'm in a good mood, and I mean, I wanted to talk to you. I mentioned this right off the bat. See where you're at with these Indians, because just when you're ready, and a lot of people are ready to go, wow, okay, it was a fun ride. You get what you get yesterday. I mean, at that point, what do you say, man?
That's exactly what I was going to say. The parallel you just made is exactly right. And they've done this several times this year. You reach a point where you're, oh, you figured it out one way or the other. I think it goes both ways. You reach a point where you're incredibly excited, and then they go and blow a game like they did, or blow a series basically like they did with the Tigers. But then there have been several more times in which they have a game like yesterday where, and I'm sure everyone, a lot of other people did the same thing. I turned it off. I basically given up. You know, you're down by four in the eighth. I followed along on my phone, and not today. And then tuned in or checked back a few hours later and just go, what the hell happened? How did this happen? And they've done that several times this year. And just when you like Godfather 3, just when you think you're out, they pull you back in.
I'm telling you, man, four runs down, Brantley gets the knock, and then the big one, Giambi. I'm telling you, I don't care. You can never talk to me about his batting average again, because everything he hits is as leveraged as possible, man. First pitch, goodbye. We have a tie ball game.
He might be the first player in the history of Major League Baseball to hit 180 for a season and still yet have provided everything we could have asked for. I mean, it's
I'm telling you.
I've never seen anything like this.
Think about it. If the Indians season ended today and they had to vote on their season MVP, he would at least get a few votes, I'll bet. And he's
hitting 185. I mean, he has only a handful of hits as reflected by his 180 average, but basically every single one of them has played a role. Certainly every one of his home runs, RBIs, almost every one of them has played a major role or has been the determining factor in winning a game. It's amazing. He doesn't deliver much, but when he does, it's huge.
You're absolutely right, and he did it again yesterday. And then, like you said, I was working, you know, as I'm following the game, I'm watching along, and I'm working at the same time, and it seemed like every time I turned around, every time I looked up, the game kept changing back and forth there. And, of course, we had the blown save, and then finally the victory as they finish things off in the 12th inning. And here's another thing to me that shows you the story of this year's Cleveland Indians. Nick Swisher, we've all seen his struggles. He goes 0-for-5, but then he gets on and he scores the winning run there in the 12th inning. So even though he's scuffling, he finds a way to be a part of the victory as well.
Yeah, and there are a lot of guys like that, guys that you're just like the team itself, you're basically ready to give up on, and then they come through. Giambi, as we just said several times, it'll be a week or two that he doesn't come up with a big hit, and you look at his average and you think, God, why is he here? Why are we keeping him? And then he does what he did yesterday to basically pull them back, or, you know, bring them back from the dead and enable them to win the game. And, you know, for as exciting as yesterday was, and that's, again, one of those sort of benchmark victories that we've seen a few times over the course of the season, I'm not pleased with the way this series went. They won 2 out of 3, and that's the bottom line, and that's what we'll take out of it. But this, keep in mind, this is a team in Minnesota they played that is now 12 games under .500. The Indians were not facing good pitching, and yet they were basically outplayed in 2 of the 3 games. They did not look good. They did not hit well. They didn't pitch particularly well. I was very disappointed. It just felt like a sour series, a series they should have done more with and played better with, gotten more out of it. But they won 2 out of 3, so we'll take it. But it really didn't feel much different than losing 2 out of 3 to the Angels and the way things went last week against the Tigers. It just seemed like a continuation of what we saw in those two series. So I would like to think that maybe winning the way they did yesterday may spark a little turnaround and we'll see some different results. But now, again, we're going to be playing a playoff contender in Oakland this weekend. So we're done with the playing teams that are out of the race for a little while. We've got Oakland this weekend and then the Angels again, who just knocked us around last weekend to finish up this road trip. So, you know, we'll see. I just don't have the euphoric sort of enthusiasm that you would expect from winning a game the way they did yesterday.
And that's all good points. I want to talk more about that. Let's get the break out of the way, and we'll come back talking about that. Real quick, though, Giambi, because we're talking about him, I know you got to remember. Do you remember being on the air with me the night that we got the email from the Indians that they had signed the contract with Giambi, and we were kind of like, oh, okay, you know. Like,
we laughed.
It was, I mean, what were the odds that he was even going to make that team out of spring training?
I think I said he, you know, that's nice. Maybe he'll be lightning in the bottle a couple of times early in the season, but he won't be with the team in June or July. By then, he will have gotten hurt. They will have released him to make space for somebody else. He won't be on the team by July, certainly not by August. And here we are talking about his heroics once again. So I think the 180 average backs up the thinking of that night. But like we just talked about, he's done some intangible things that are very difficult to see over the course of a line in a season statistical analysis.
Jason Giambi making sports talking heads like myself and Jonathan Knight look silly. I mean, and I'll take it.
That's right.
I'll take it because
I love looking
that's
silly.
One.
I love looking silly.
Especially when it works out in our favor, you know.
When it works,
we'll talk
yes,
about that.
Right, yes.
Yeah, because there's other one that's not so preferable.
Yeah. There are
right,
other ways.
Let's take this break.
This
we
fun.
Come back. J-Rock, Jonathan Knight, we're having a good time. We're going to talk about these Indians. They get a day off to catch their breath. We'll continue to talk about what's going on and what heads forward. We're talking Indians baseball here on the Sports Fix. Don't go anywhere. So much more to come. Still to come. I said that twice. I don't care. Here we go. We'll be right back.
The Sports Fix, the show that asks the question,
what you talking about, huh? What you talking about, huh? What you talking about? What you talking about? What you talking about, huh? What you talking about?
We'll be right back.
Bike nights are back at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Rev up your hogs and head on down to Harry Buffalo North Olmsted every Monday night from 5:30 to 9:30. Enjoy $3 drinks and beers, $5 pizzas, and crazy wing specials for all bikers.
Woo-hoo!
Hot bikes, good friends, and great times are waiting for you. 4824 Great Northern Boulevard in North Olmsted.
Right outside Great Northern Mall.
Monday bike nights at Harry Buffalo. Proud sponsor of the Sports Fix. Harry Buffalo. Join the herd.
You love Cleveland, and you already know how much we love Cleveland. You know who else loves Cleveland? GV Art and Design. Everyday fans, you and I wear our pride on our sleeves. Now, you can wear your pride on your chest. GV Art and Design has one of the hottest Cleveland sporting lines. Whether it's their Cleveland That I Love design, or perhaps it's the Superman Birthplace of a Hero line of team-themed designs, whether you're a fan of the Indians or Browns, the Lake Erie Monsters, or the CSU Vikings, the Cleveland Cavaliers, or just Cleveland in general, GV Art Art and Design has a logo, design, or style for you. Sports Fix listeners, as a special treat, every time you make a purchase from GV Art and Design, use the sales code FIX and save 10% on your total purchase. Log on right now to GVArtwork.com, check out all of their fantastic designs,
and don't forget, use the sales code FIX to save 10% on your total purchase.
Follow GVArtwork.com on Facebook, and remember, GV Art and Design, it's not just a shirt, it's a statement.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck, home of the low price tire guarantee. QuickLane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
You're listening to the Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, and indeed, sometimes I want a new drug too, because these Indians, man, I'll tell you, they coming from behind thing, man, it just gets crazy. Talking to Andre Knight yesterday, and he said it perfectly. He said, these Indians will have weeks where you just throw the remote at the control, or the control at the TV, and just say, forget these guys, and then they have magical weeks that you just go, this is why I watch, this is why I believe, and you know, it's just amazing. It's been streaky, but hey, the good and the bad and the ugly, I'll take it all together. It's what's called a baseball season, and I'm having a good time during this 2013 season. We're talking Indians baseball live here on the Sports Fix. Welcome back, my friends. J-Rock with you, and on the line joining me, my man, the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight. JK, how you doing? Still with me, my man?
I'm still with you.
And I'll tell you what, you kind of got me onto something, and yesterday I looked it up, and now I'm going to, I think, keep going forward with this for the rest of the season, because as we've talked before, the 97 season, you know, remember you sent me a few weeks ago, you said, hey, the Indians are doing better than they were. They're still, at this point in the season, like 5 games better than they were at the same point in 1997. I looked it up yesterday.
Yep.
On August 14th of that season, they beat the Detroit Tigers 12-1. Charles Nagy went 12-4 on the season, by the way, with the victory. And the Indians were 61-56 at this point in the 1997 season where they went to the World Series.
Yeah, and it says a lot of things. I mean, first and foremost, the flip side that I've taken is, yes, they were 61-56, and they were, their record was worse than the current Indians, but they were also, what, 7 or 8 games up in first place at that point. Maybe not 7 or 8, but they had a comfortable lead in first place in the division at that point, which led to a lot of that lethargy that we saw in 97 and in 98. Those teams were, I think, both of those teams were better than their records, but never had to prove it because they were never really pushed. And that was one of the themes of those late 90s is the end after 95 and 96, the Indians were never challenged in a division race. They never had to go pedal to the metal during the regular season. They just kind of slogged through until October, and then would try to flip the switch, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. But here's another, speaking of 97, I'm glad you brought this up, because here's another statistic that ties right into that theme, not only in terms of the difference between this year and that year, but also in the under the category that the of this being a marathon and not a sprint, in that we talked a couple of weeks ago about the Indians had not, when the Indians finished up this July, with a winning record, that was the first time since, I think, 2004 that the Indians had had winning records in both June and July in the same season. The first time in 9 years they had done that. And they'd had some pretty, some solid teams in there, but nobody had ever had winning records in June and July in the same year. I would take that a step further. The last time that they had winning records in June, July, and August in the same year was, guess what? 1997. It's been 16 years since that has happened. There have been four playoff teams the Indians have fielded since then that have not gone through the whole summer with winning records in the three biggest summer months, the three primary months of the baseball season. Now, that's not to say that you that's not a requirement. It doesn't mean if you have a losing record in a month that you're not a bona fide playoff team, but it says something about, okay, this is when you are able to do that, when you're able to post a winning record in each of those months in which you'd call them, I guess, the dog days, when things are, it's not real glamorous, you're really just chopping wood and getting the job done, that's the sign of a team that's hanging around, that's doing their job. And 98 didn't do it, 99 didn't do it, 2001 didn't do it, 2007 didn't do it, 1997 did. Just barely. They were like one game over 500, two games over 500 each of those months, but they kept their head above water. And that's very similar to what this year's Indians are doing. Right now they have a losing record in August, but there's still time to turn it around, get back up over 500. And if they do that, if they finish August with a winning record, not only will it be the first time in 16 years that that's happened, but once again, that will show that they have that endurance that we haven't seen the last couple of years that has really firebombed the Indians' chances. Look no further than last year and how horrible August was. So you see that endurance, you see that belief. Now suddenly you're in September, you're 10 games over 500, and you're in certainly the wild card race, if not the division race. So it'll be interesting to see how these next few weeks play out. It's a trivial point, but I think there is some substance there.
See, and that's a hell of a point. That's why I call him the sports writer extraordinaire. You've always got those angles that you don't. I love it, seriously, because that's the team that I. Yes, exactly. That's the team that I compare these guys to. I really do think. But yeah. Here's the thing. Regardless of how the season ends up, and I've talked with Al and Andre this week. We've done a lot of Tribe Talk this week. If you get through, like you said, the next 2 weeks, because you've got the day off here, then you continue this road trip. You've got Oakland, and you got the Angels again. Then you've got Atlanta and Detroit finishing off the month, So
yeah.
you've got a couple of tough stretches, but that last few weeks of the season, you get into September, and there's some lush green garden that the Indians, you've got these sub-500 teams where they could very easily, if they keep themselves in it, they can make a run and stay hot right through, and who knows where that takes you. Because I stand where I believe, because some of these people on Twitter will argue at me and go, so what? Even if they make the playoffs, they're not going to win the World Series. I say, and I think you'll agree with me, this isn't basketball. We're not talking about the eighth seed in the playoffs or anything like that. In Major League Baseball, there's limited playoff positioning, and I say any playoff spot is a playoff spot in my mind, and it's that you can't look down on that.
Well, especially for a team in this position. Yeah. We were not talking about playoffs at the beginning of the season. That was preposterous. So I think that, I understand that view, and it's easy to jump to that and to look at this team, and I agree with the point that, yes, this team is certainly not built or capable of making a run to the World Series. This is not a championship-caliber team, not compared with some of the other teams we have seen here and how they are playing now. I totally agree with that, but that's not the point. For a lot of teams that make the playoffs, this is the equivalent of college football and making a bowl. This is not like a MAC team that makes that's a big deal. Obviously, they're not excited. Their expectation, their goal is not to win the national championship. They are thrilled with making a bowl because it shows how their program is growing. They're building it, getting a little better than last year. They're building something. And that's basically the equivalent of where the Indians are now. Making the playoffs would be like making a bowl for a mid-major football, college football program. That'd be huge for visibility. Everyone gets excited. It sets the table for next year. for this team, for this franchise, at this point, just making the playoffs, even if it's only the second wild card, that's fantastic. And to say nothing of all the things that have gone wrong this season. If you'd have told me that Nick Swisher was hitting .230, Asdrubal Cabrera was hitting .240, that Mark Reynolds would have been released, that Chris Perez would be in jail, that Vinny Pastano would be in Columbus. If you'd have told me all of these things and told me that the Indians were almost 10 games over .500 in the middle of August, and we're talking about the potential of making the playoffs, are you crazy? That never would have happened. You know, we would have been thrilled with all of that. So, yeah, I mean, yes, this team is not about to make anyone think that, oh, yeah, they've got a run to the Fall Classic in them. I don't see that. But just getting in there, get the visibility, get the franchise turned around, get people in Cleveland talking about it, get them on national TV in October, that'd be fantastic.
And you know what? As we wrap things up, I'll leave it with this. The other thing that it does, because a recurring theme this season was how long before the trust comes back with the fan base, how long before the attendance goes up, no matter how it ends, if you have a strong, contending final few weeks of the season, that buzz goes right into October and November and December, and when people start renewing season tickets and making season ticket sales, that will remain, and then you'll start to see, like we said, the second year is really when I expect to see better attendance at Jacobs Field. So the end of the season, big in all the ways you just described, plus that too.
The majority of the tickets that are sold for any given baseball season are sold before the first pitch is thrown. That's the bottom line in this business.
Yep.
It sounds ridiculous, but it is completely true. So however the Indians are going to do, and not just attendance-wise, we don't need to dwell on that, but just in terms of popularity, of interest, of how they're trending, to use a social media type of word, next year for 2014 is going to determine on how they finish up 2013, and like you said, how that translates into ticket sales and marketing and all of those aspects that the modern fan typically doesn't focus on. So yeah, this is going to be a key 6 weeks, not just obviously for this year and how they finish up and where they are in October, if anywhere, but just as importantly for next year and the year after, because I think we've talked about this several times as well, that I think they, while they're still several pieces away, they have a nice foundation now. They have some nice players. They have a couple guys, several guys that can be part of a foundation of a championship caliber team. What happens in the next few weeks is going to determine how the next step proceeds.
Absolutely. Jonathan Knight, and we'll be following along. We've done it all season, every week, usually on Wednesdays or Thursdays. Jonathan Knight's here with us on the Sports Fix. They've got a day off today. Then tomorrow, they get back at it with Oakland. This is not the same Oakland team that they swept earlier in the season.
No, so it's gonna be, not at all.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play against a team that's playing well at home, you know, the Indians on the road. So we'll talk about that tomorrow.
And this is
actually
really sort of the first kind of flavor we're getting of a pennant race. This is two teams in the wild card race playing in what will be late August. I mean, this is sort of the appetizer for what would be a pennant race. These are two teams
both that are
fighting for that playoff spot, that are basically in the same position in the overall standings, both in second place in their division, both just out of that second wild card spot. So this is a nice series. This is going to be a big series, and one that hopefully just sort of teases us for what's to come in these next few weeks.
Absolutely. Tomorrow we'll get Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com on with me, and we'll preview that Oakland weekend series. Jonathan Knight, my man, Browns play tonight. I know it's preseason football, but you can at least...
That's the first time in history that we forgot to talk about the Browns. We've been too busy talking about the Indians in mid-August, and we forgot to talk about the Browns. It's hilarious.
I didn't forget. That was strategic.
I forgot for both of us.
We got plenty of time in this show to talk about the Browns, man. You know, like you said, the Indians are relevant in August, and I'm taking that ball and running with it. You know what I mean?
That's right. But that's exactly right. We got 4 months to talk about the Browns, so let's ride this Indians wave as long as we possibly can.
Thank you. You hear that, Indians fans? See, we try to be nice and fair about all of this
right here.
No,
we are democratic, if nothing else.
Well, I love that it's not July and we're done talking Indians baseball. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of people do that. We're still rolling.
Some years it's May and we're done talking about Indians baseball. So by all means, let's take this sucker into September. Let's do it.
Absolutely. We'll talk about that next week. Jonathan Knight, join us. Have fun watching the Browns game tonight, watching the Tribe over the weekend. We'll catch up with you next week, and we'll see if things are continuing to progress where September is meaningful for the Indians.
Yes, indeed.
All right, Jonathan Knight, the sports writer extraordinaire. You can check him out on Twitter at jknightwriter, jknightwriter. Anything else you want to drop on him, my man?
What more could there possibly be to say, Jerry? We have covered everything. This is beautiful. I'm excited. I mean, you said it at the top. You were excited. I'm excited, too. This is fun. You know, we got the Indians are relevant in August. The Browns didn't look terrible last week. They play again tonight. Hey, you can't ask for anything else as we head into the dog days, back to school days. This is as good as it gets for Cleveland sports.
Absolutely. Jonathan Knight, my man, you have a great week. We'll talk to you next week.
You too, sir.
All right. That is the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight. I'm J-Rock. We're hitting the break. When we come back, we're going to shift gears as Ron Graham is running our Twitter account. He got a tweet from Mo Spates. Mo Spates no longer plays for the Cavaliers, but apparently he's chatting with the Sports Fix here on Twitter. You can tweet with us at the Sports Fix CLE, just like Marie Spates. You can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/thesportsfix. You can email us, thesportsfix@AOL.com. When we come back, still just a little longer before we open up the phone lines, BJ Riddell, fantasy football award-winning author and expert, he's going to join us. We'll talk some fantasy football, our weekly fantasy football for winners segment with BJ Riddell coming up next, right here on the Sports Fix. Plus, we preview the Browns and the Lions tonight. So much more to come. Don't go anywhere, Daddy. We are still cooking with gas here on the Sports Fix.
We here at the Sports Fix want to make all of your dreams come true.
What about my dream?
Edith, I told you I can't build your candy house. It will fall down. The sun will melt the candy. It won't work.
It will if it never rains.
Oh, maybe not all of them. Get your fix on the Sports Fix. Harmony, harmony, all
love. It's an addiction. The Sports Fix will be right back.
Back in 1990, when I joined Herb in the booth, you could say that first game was when I became a lifelong Tribe fan. Something about Cleveland made us want to stay and call it our home, raise our family here. I can promise you one thing, home or on the road, I feel what you folks feel, what you feel every game. Cleveland fans are passionate and pretty vocal. I respect that. This is our team. This is our town. This is a Tribe town.
Business owners and professionals, do you want to take your business, your product, your team, your event to the next level? You want to advertise right here with the Sports Fix. Our listeners are among the most loyal listeners, terrestrial or internet. The Sports Fix universe is not only the radio show, but tens of thousands of fans on Facebook and Twitter. Email me, Jerry Myers, thesportsfix@AOL.com. That's thesportsfix@AOL.com. And let me help you swing for the fences and hit it out of the park right here on the Sports Fix.
I'm here again with Bill Opelich from Quick Lane at Valley Ford. Bill, what's new in the Quick Lane?
Battery rebate. Summer is just as hard on your battery as the winter. Quick Lane and Valley Ford will test your battery at no charge. And if you need a battery, we have a $25 mail-in rebate on the purchase of a tested Tough Motorcraft battery starting at $79.95.
Wow, that's a great deal, Bill. Tell me more.
Our brake rebate is still on until June 30th. $25 per axle with the purchase and installation of Motorcraft brake pads, as well as offering a $50 rebate when you purchase $250 or more and charge your Ford genuine credit card. Some exclusions apply. As always, we have a low price guarantee on all our tires. If you find the same price within 30 days, we will refund the difference. Stop in, let us check your battery and top off your washer fluid.
Where do I have to go to get those great deals?
Come to Quick Lane at Valley Ford on Canal Road between Rockside and Granger in Valley View, just 10 minutes from downtown Cleveland. We're open at 7 every day. Open late Monday through Thursday till 9, Friday till 6, and Saturday till 2.
Go to quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by GV Art and Design. It's not just a shirt, it's a statement. GVArtwork.com.
Hey, it's Hugh Hewitt, and when I want to know what's going on with the Cavs, the Browns, and the Tribe, I tune into Sports Fix.
Good morning, I'm Bob Petrosi. The announcement was brief. The Jets merely said this morning that Mark Sanchez will start again at quarterback in Saturday's preseason game against Jacksonville. The decision one day after Coach Rex Ryan described rookie quarterback Geno Smith's performance in practice yesterday as brutal. But Ryan also said yesterday Smith, who sprained his ankle in the first preseason game, isn't 100%. Patriots quarterback Tom Brady, who took a hit to his left knee yesterday in practice, plans to practice today, according to ESPN's Ed Werder. The winning streak is now 8 for the Dodgers, and Adrian Gonzalez doubled in the 12th, gave them a 5-4 win over the Mets last night. The Dodgers, who trailed 4-0, tied it on a 2-run homer by Andre Ethier off LaTroy Hawkins with one out in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, I got all of it right there. Just trying to stay through a ball right there and hit and barrel something up, and got a good fastball middle way to do it, and had a good swing, and timed it up there in the ninth inning.
The Red Hot Dodgers have won 40 of their last 48. In the first round of the Wyndham Championship today in Greensboro, Matt Jones and Andrew Svoboda both 4 under par, and they have a one-stroke lead.
Brought to you by the Johnsonville Brat Tender. Win $5,000 and a year's supply of brats by belting out your version of Johnsonville's summer anthem, Don't Pierce the Brat. Check out Johnsonville's Grilling Facebook page now for details. Johnsonville Brats, served with pride since 1945.
Now, back to the Sports Fix.
That's right, bells tolling. Welcome back to the Sports Fix, my friends. J-Rock with you, and wow, already a fast, hot start to the show. I want to thank again my man, the sports writer extraordinaire, Jonathan Knight. Thank you so much for joining us. Always good to talk him. Ron Graham running the Twitter account for us here during the show. Shout out to him. You guys can tweet with us, tweet with Ron at the Sports Fix CLE. Love reading those comments there. J-Rock will say it on air. I do wish I had Ron Graham running our tweets all the time. That's absolutely true. Like I said, tweet with us. We'll read them here on the air at the Sports Fix CLE. Hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/thesportsfix. Waiting in just a moment. J-Rock with you here. BJ Riddell going to be joining us talking our weekly fantasy football segment here coming up. Looking forward to that. This way, BJ is going to talk about the running back and quarterback positions specifically here and the top five players that he sees this season. And I'll tell you what, some of the people that you would expect to be at the top of the list, not even in his top five. So waiting on BJ to chime in now. Also going to preview the Cleveland Browns, the Detroit Lions tonight, somewhere around 1 o'clock. Looking forward to talking about that. So much more. You know, I want to throw back to yesterday, by the way. After every show, I go back and I listen to the show and I kind of make notes of things, you know, because I'm scatterbrained. You know, this thing's 100 miles an hour. You guys are throwing the comments at me in the chat room and on all the different social media sites. And so sometimes it's a whirlwind. I go back and I try to listen to the things that I forgot to talk about or the things that I, you know, dropped off the subject. Yesterday, we were talking about that Forbes list with Dr. Football. And as I was talking about the top five and where the teams were ranked as far as the team's values, how about the Browns? I never mentioned them yesterday. The Browns are the 22nd ranked team, according to Forbes magazine, for the value of the franchise. So I was listening and I'm like, hey man, you set it up, you said this, you said that, and then you never finished it and you never completed that thought. So that's where the Browns are in that. I never brought that up yesterday. I just wanted to drop that out there. I'm going to open up the phone lines because we're still waiting to hear from BJ Riddell. 216-539-7535 is the number to call if you want to try to sneak in a quick phone call. 216-539-7535. Oh, you know what? I want to mention to you guys, speaking of fantasy football, this I have forgot last week. I had people hit me up and go, J-Rock, aren't you doing the league? Speaking of fantasy football, for you guys out there, I wanted to let you know that once again this year. We've done it for the last several years. We're going to be doing the Sports Fix Official Fantasy Football League once again. And the cool thing about that is we'll be talking about the results. I mean, not too much. I'm not going to go crazy with it because I know fantasy football is a very niche thing. But we're going to talk about it. You'll get to hear your name brought up on the radio. And if you win, I'm going to come up with a trophy for the winner and things like that. As a matter of fact, this year, because of the new format and because we don't have to worry about FCC regulations and the things that we were previously constricted with, we're actually going to run two fantasy football leagues this year. We're going to do the standard free-to-enter fantasy football league, and then we're also going to do the fantasy football, or excuse me, as I'm talking about fantasy football, we're going to do a paid fantasy football league as well. So we're going to do fantasy football, a free entry league, and then we're also going to do a cash league. It's not going to be a big prize. It's going to be a $25 entry that we're talking about, but both of those, I'm going to open up the registration today, and instead of going through all the various details and things like that, just hit us up, email thesportsfix@AOL.com if you want to enter either our cash fantasy football league or if you want to enter in our free league, both of them. We would love to have each and every one of you. We've already, like I said, had some of the people that have been in for the last couple of years. Hey, you doing the fantasy football leagues again? So I extend my invitations to you. We are doing both a paid fantasy football league as well as a free fantasy football league for the listeners of the show. And there'll be some various different people that end up getting involved in this thing by the time it's all said and done. It's a lot of fun. Email me if you're interested in entering either league, thesportsfix@AOL.com. thesportsfix@AOL.com. Still, I'm not sure what's going on here. I've checked the phone lines. Everything's working. Waiting to hear from BJ Riddell right now. Him and I were talking off the air just moments before we came on the show because we were kind of breaking down the next few weeks. This is where, you know, fantasy football. And by the way, you guys, you know, I said that fantasy football is a niche thing, but I'll tell you, that is starting to change because as more and more of the average Jane and Joe start to get introduced to it and start to experiment with it, it's kind of taken off, and especially with the proliferation of the free leagues with ESPN and Yahoo and all the various places, you know, not everybody gets all dug into it. Not everybody does what BJ Riddell and enters the big money leagues and gets himself in and does those type of things. You know, there's a lot of office pools. That was one of the things that used to be the most fun, and it just kind of went away when, you know, Victor, you guys remember Vic, he used to be on the show and passed away. Kevin, you know, we lost both of those guys, and it used to be a lot of fun because we'd have the office fantasy football league going, you know, and you put a few bucks on it. It's nothing that's going to break anybody's bank, and it's nothing that's going to, you know, make anybody's year better at the end of the day. But the number of people playing fantasy football in America this year, as a matter of fact, I'm making sure that I have the number correct, but it's a lot bigger than you would think. It's really become something that's making its way into the mainstream. You know what I mean? Think about that. This past year, 34.5 million people said that they have played some form of fantasy sports. I mean, that's a very large group of people there. So it's most definitely, I mean, 5 years ago, 22% of males 18 to 49 had admitted to playing some form of fantasy sports. And fantasy sports, well, not just football, but all fantasy sports, are estimated to have a $3 to $4 billion economic impact across the country and across the sports industry. Think about what I said. Fantasy football, for as much as you think it's a niche thing, has a $3 to $4 billion economic impact across the various sports industries. That's a powerhouse right there. I mean, that's taking some, lopping some money off the national debt, if you know what I'm saying. So that'll go to show you that it has grown as it became more in the mainstream, as it became more. Absolutely, Vince the author chiming in. We are doing a Sports Fix League. That's what I just told you, Vince. You're listening along with the show. Email thesportsfix@AOL.com and let us know if you want to join in to one of the Sports Fix Fantasy Football Leagues. And we would definitely give you all the setup information. Hugh Hewitt just tweeted us, the Browns have the 22nd most valuable in NFL franchise, according to Forbes. Are they kidding? We're America's team. Hugh, we're not just America's team. As I've seen, just with our little show here, the numbers that we've gotten around the world, the people that are Browns fans, the Browns are truly the world's team. I mean, I'm telling you, I would love to sit down and really dig the research, dig the numbers. I would love to see exactly how, already getting emails in about signing up for the Fantasy Football League. BJ Riddell, where is he? BJ Riddell just retweeted my tweet that he was coming on the show, but he hasn't called in yet. I really hope that everything's okay, because I was really excited about this segment, and I don't know. I'm hitting him up as I'm talking to you guys. BJ, where are you? We're live on the air, and we're asking this question. I just typed that in, so you guys were a part of me here hitting up BJ Riddell like, hey, my man, let's talk about some fantasy football. Vince, I appreciate that you're now in on the show, as really now the social media is starting to chime in and chime up here, you guys. Hit us up on the phone line, 216-539-7535. I can't wait forever. 216-539-7535. The joys of live radio. 216-539-7535. Do you play fantasy football? I mean, clearly, I'm getting the tweets coming in here. I'm curious, do you guys, how many of you out there play? How many, and if you do, how many of you out there play seriously, and how many of you out there play? Phone line's ringing. You know what? I'm going to put that on pause right there. I'm going to go to the phones. Caller, you're live on the Sports Fix.
Hey, this is Vince. How you doing?
What's up, Vince?
Hey, not much. I'm going to keep this really short, because I know you have your interview coming up. But
yeah, supposedly, theoretically.
Man, I tell you what, I take one day away from the Sports Fix, and the heck happens. But no, seriously, I wanted to run this by you. What do you think about pro athletes playing fantasy sports? Could that be a conflict of interest?
You know, that's an interesting topic. I've heard some people bring that up over the last couple of weeks, too. That's a very interesting topic, because in a way, I could see that, you know. But really, do you think, I mean, come on, there's not that level of money involved in fantasy sports compared to what they're already making, where I can't really see it affecting, well, I guess you could make the argument that certain players, you know, may play differently, but I can't really see that. I don't know. What's your take? Do you think they should be allowed to?
No. I think there's a lot of gambling going on that people don't realize. If you read Terry Francona's book, he talks about it.
I know about that. Yeah. But do you really look at fantasy football as gambling? As that same as placing bets on the game? I could see that argument. I'd love for you to go into that, you know?
Yeah, no, I think it is completely. And what we see, we play for $5. We play for $50 tops, okay? But these guys, for them to have anything exciting, they got to play for, I'm not going to say millions, but I bet you there's at least $5,000 on the line, if not more. I mean, look at Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley. They go to Las Vegas, and, you know, for them to have any excitement, they got to throw down bets of $25,000. I mean, I'm
absolutely
not saying it's probably
Vince,
a huge
Vince,
thing
I'm
going
not,
on, but it is
I'm
something that
you
when
short,
you really
Vince.
Dig into it, you never know. I mean, is a place kicker going to pull a kick one day? Is he going to miss a kick on purpose? Is he going to shank a 30-yarder in a meaningless game in the fourth quarter? But I mean, you never know. Crazy stuff is happening like that.
So you could see a situation where a kicker shanks a kick because it affects his fantasy football league, huh?
I hate to say it. I mean, it could happen. I doubt it. But, I mean, in today's day and age,
hey,
I mean, you
that's
never know.
The whole point of conversation. Vince, I appreciate that. And you know what? That's something we're going to expound upon on another day. I've got BJ calling in now. Vince,
cool.
Thank you so much for the call. Going to the phone lines now, the author of Fantasy Football for Winners. See, I can dance on my toes, baby. This is live radio. We keep it rolling. BJ Riddell, welcome into the show. Everything okay, my man?
Everything's okay. Sorry about that, J-Rock.
No problem.
It's a 24-hour day.
No, I understand. People get caught up. But as I was waiting, then you retweeted my tweet that you were coming on the show. And I'm like, all right. So I know he's out there communicating somewhere, unless somebody has body snatched BJ Riddell. It is all good. And I am, you know what? You're smart. You prime the pump, because while I was talking and bringing up some fantasy football numbers, 4 to 5 fantasy sports. I don't know if you heard that number I brought up before you called in.
Yeah,
4 to 5 billion-dollar economic impact on the United States.
Unbelievable.
And it just
That's
speaks that it has become far more than just the sports geek's favorite game. It's everybody's game now.
That's right. People quit their jobs to do this. You know that the industry is taken off when people decide to do this full time.
Absolutely. You, of course, one of those people who's made this a center of your expertise. And, of course, BJ Riddell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners. Talk to us a little bit for those who have tuned in, perhaps, and don't know a little bit about your background. Let's refill our listening audience on your background just a little bit.
Sure. I'm author of a couple books, including Fantasy Football for Winners, which is part how-to guide on playing fantasy football, but also take some conventional wisdoms that people have and turn them on their side based on statistical analysis, historical trends, and trying to demonstrate to people that just because people say to pick so-and-so in the first round doesn't mean they're going to be right. And so I try to break that down on a week-to-week basis.
And we're going to do that right here on the show. That's why I'm really excited. And you know what? We've gotten, and I'm not just telling you this because you're on the air, but I have, you know, probably 8 or 9 different people that do individual segments throughout the course of the week. And I'm telling you, the first 2 weeks with you being on with us here, really a lot of buzz. There's a lot of people excited that somebody, you know, and I'm not patting ourselves on the back. I'm glad you and I hooked up, but excited that somebody has found somebody like yourself and put a once a week spotlight here on a radio show about fantasy football.
That's great. I'm happy to hear that. And, you know, the proof is in delivering the goods. You know, if I can help your listeners and you, you know, with some insights on players that people aren't hearing elsewhere, that's the key. And I think I can give you guys that. Of course, well, it's a 17-week season. We'll see how it plays out.
Absolutely, and we'll be checking those numbers at the end of the year. But let's talk, let's start, you sent me a message here and really got me intrigued. This was what I was telling people. Let's start looking at these positions. We've got about 3 weeks of preseason games left starting this week, so let's break things down this week. Let's start with a couple of the marquee positions, and I know you've got some surprise predictions here. Let's start with quarterbacks and running backs, and who are your predictions for the top 5 in both of those positions this year?
Well, a lot of people are saying Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees, Tom Brady at the top of the list. My top 5 is not finalized yet, but I can tell you that 2 of those 3 guys are not going to be in the top 5. Aaron Rodgers, when you take out his incredible 2011 season, is a top-tier but not elite fantasy quarterback.
Okay.
People think I'm crazy in saying that, but if you look at the numbers, yeah, he passes for a lot of yards. Gets about 31 TDs a year if you take out 2011. And what happened? He just loses, you know, Greg Jennings, his number one receiver. Randall Cobb is terrific, but he's not as known a commodity. James Jones is not the best catcher. He doesn't have a great track record. He's on and off. JerMichael Finley is hit or miss. That team is going to be leaning on the talents of Aaron Rodgers and a less proven core of receivers. And I think that Rodgers' track record, if he does as well as he usually does, he will be a great player. But anyone who takes him to the top is making a big mistake. I think that Brady will finish in the top 5. I think Matt Ryan and Cam Newton will finish in the top 5. And I'm not so sure. And I think Drew Brees might be in the top 5. And people are going to say I'm crazy with that too. Marquise Colston is getting older. Lance Moore is not a predictable receiver. He's hit or miss. And that leaves Jimmy Graham as the main guy there. Drew Brees is brilliant, but his last 2 years have been his best 2 years. So the question is, if we were looking at him when he was 31 years old, would we be saying that he was a top 1 or top 2 quarterback? We probably wouldn't. He's just done so well the last 2 years that we think only the last 2 years instead of his full track record. And so I'm coming at it from the standpoint of there's no guarantee that he's going to be top 3. I would put him maybe number 5. And then I'm torn a little bit on who the last one will be, you know, in that grouping. I really think that people ought to look closely at Eli Manning. He is way undervalued based on the talent he has. Last year he threw for 1,000 fewer yards than he did the year before, not because he's not talented, because he had receiver issues with injuries and so on. This is a team that, when healthy, he can put up 5,000 yards. And the sky's the limit in terms of TDs. And I also think Tony Romo could edge out and get into the top 5. He was preseason number 6 last year on a bunch of rankings. And the fact that, you know, he didn't put it all together last year, he still had a great year. He was 6th overall, but suddenly he drops because questions over the offensive line. I think that Romo, since he played with a bad offensive line last year and still threw for about 4,000 yards, however many touchdowns, they're sixth overall fantasy-wise, he's fully capable of being a top-five quarterback, even with a bad offensive line. And I think people, again, who draft Aaron Rodgers first or in the first round are making a huge mistake, and I will guarantee you that you will not be happy with that pick.
Wow, there you go, because I know last year that one of the guys on the show, Birdman, that was his number one draft pick, and he's a big Aaron Rodgers guy. I know a lot of people probably surprised by that. As we hit each position, since you're looking at kind of your top group of guys, I'm going to throw from the Cleveland perspective as well. Let's throw the Browns quarterback in play there too. What kind of year are you anticipating thus far from what we've seen with Brandon Whedon in this new offense?
I think Brandon Whedon will be, on a good day, a good spot starter that you can find in fantasy. He definitely has some great weapons, as we talked about in previous weeks. Gordon, Little, Bess, when Gordon gets back, hopefully he'll be, raring to go and doing what we think he can do and capable of. It's still Trent Richardson's show, to the extent that Richardson, can pound the ball and stay healthy. You're going to see a lot of opportunities in the goal line for Richardson to get in. He actually excelled at that last year and probably took away some touchdown passes for Whedon because of Richardson's proficiency at getting in the end zone, especially towards the latter half of the season. I wouldn't look to Whedon to be a draftable player in a smaller league at this point, but I think based on the matchup and especially when Gordon comes back, you can see some opportunities where he can get 250 yards and a couple TDs. And line it up right, could be a good spot starter for bye weeks.
And that's where what you and I have talked about so much about not committing to a lineup for the season as much as being smart, reading the matchups, looking at who to fit in week to week. Those are the people that really seem to excel above the standard fantasy football player. You brought up running backs. You're talking about Trent Richardson, and he's gotten a lot of play nationally and a lot of predictions as somebody higher up on the list of running backs to consider. Let's go through some running backs where your perspective is here heading into the season.
Yeah, another challenging thing, and some of your listeners may not want to listen again, and if you want to kick me off the show, that's fine. Adrian Peterson averaged 6 yards a carry last year. His career average before that was 4.8. What he did last year, I believe, is an anomaly. He's 28 years old. He will not be the same player that he was at 27, that he was earlier in his career at 23, 24, 25, when he was arguably a top five running back every season. So I believe people need to temper their expectations about Adrian Peterson. He is not going to rush for 6 yards a carry. This is a different team. With Greg Jennings actually in Minnesota, it creates more of an opportunity for Chris Ponder to throw long and open up the field a little bit. Yes, Peterson will benefit from that. I don't see Peterson having the same situation where he is the sole guy that they lean on every single play. And if that does happen, I guarantee you there is an injury risk involved with putting that much on a player two straight years. So my view is the probabilities show that Peterson will revert back closer to where he was earlier in his career than the anomaly that I see of last year. I put C.J. Spiller at the top of the list. People are going to say I'm crazy. The offensive line is suspect. But again, when you've got a running back like C.J. Spiller who did what he did last year, playing for a porous offensive line, and as good as he is rising to his peak. He's not yet at his peak in terms of his potential. He's a guy who could be getting 30 carries a game. That was the latest out of the camp. If you believe that and believe that he's going to be the workhorse, the sky's the limit. I have Arian Foster, Doug Martin, Marshawn Lynch, and Adrian Peterson rounding out my top five. I think LeSean McCoy will give Peterson a run for his money. McCoy's season last year also was an anomaly. You look at McCoy 2 years ago, he was the number two running back fantasy-wise. I see a return to greatness for McCoy, playing in a system that will benefit the running game versus the passing game.
Where do you see Arian Foster this year? Because I know a few years ago, he was rising up. Some people were making him early, if even first-round picks. Where do you see his season this year with the way Houston's progressing?
I see him as a number two. I see, Arian Foster is someone who, for the past two seasons, has been the presumptive number one heading into this season. Or at least has been number one or the presumptive number one in terms of what he's done. He has not taken a step back. It's just that other players like Adrian Peterson and C.J. Spiller and Doug Martin have come on the scene, you know, and that creates a kind of a relativism to how we view Arian Foster. Well, we know what Arian Foster can do. Give us someone who's more excited. But the fact is, there are not many dependable players in the past 10 years in fantasy more dependable than Arian Foster. I mean, LaDainian Tomlinson in his prime was someone certainly very dependable. But running backs usually have 2 years on, maybe 1 year off. Arian Foster has the ability for the next few years to be a consistent 12 to 1,500 yards, 10 to 12 touchdowns. And what makes him uniquely special is that he has the ability with Schaub to catch a five-yard pass and run 80 yards for a touchdown. He has that open field speed, and he has the ability to put up monster numbers even if he's only rushing 15, 20 times a game.
And you brought up Doug Martin. That was the other one I was interested in because we've seen his fantasy value really soar. A lot of people placing him up at the top of the list on their personal draft boards for running backs as well. Are you looking for a big season out of him?
Huge season. I mean, it's Doug Martin's offense as far as I'm concerned, you know, at least on the ground. You know, obviously Vincent Jackson is huge in the air. Freeman's progression at quarterback will in some way influence, you know, how much the offense opens up for Martin. But Martin proved last year, you know, he's a diminutive guy. He can do a whole lot. And, you know, what he did last year with those four touchdowns, 250-something yards, that was really his coming-out party, you know, in terms of being an elite and special running back. This year, the sky's the limit for him, and that's why I have him at number three. You know, these rankings are always a little bit suspect. It's hard to get it just right. And what I've noticed is with rankings, when I see other people do them, over half the time in my studies, they tend to be wrong. If you say someone's going to be in the top 10, over half the time, they're not. So that's why I believe there's a certain some sleeper potential here, and you can't just go with the trend. Just because everyone says Adrian Peterson is the best does not make him the best, and I want people to really think critically about that before jumping to conclusions, and we'll see after the first 3-4 weeks whether that holds water.
Who's your sleeper that nobody's talking about at running back?
That's a very, very good question. You know, I have a side bet with another radio guy on David Wilson. I think this could be a great year for David Wilson. He has an offense that will be run primarily through Eli Manning and Victor Cruz, and as long as he's healthy, Akeem Nicks. David Wilson is not expected to carry the team, but he is expected to show the team that by getting rid of him on Bradshaw, they made the right decision. And I understand some people say Andre Brown, you know, could vulture some carries and vulture some goal line touches. I think the sky's the limit for Wilson in terms of long-term. Whether or not this year is the year is up for debate. But I think David Wilson is a guy who could easily be a top 10 caliber running back. That's what he was projected to be at a certain point when the Giants drafted him. He was a special guy, special talent. Just last year, he was in the shadow of Ahmad Bradshaw and had some zone issues. He had some fumbling issues. If he works that out, he could be a guy who people wish they drafted as early as the third, fourth round. I think this year he might be going fourth, fifth, sixth round, and I think that's too late to go for a guy who could be a very special running back.
There you go. And you mentioned Trent Richardson starting that talk off. Forgetting the individual specific players, where do you, just as a fantasy football guy, rank the importance of the running back and quarterback positions?
Well, I want to encourage people at home to look at their historical scoring breakdowns in their fantasy league. Some leagues are more quarterback heavy, some are more running back heavy. I've been in leagues where a great running back will come along and skew the results. And then the commissioner might pull back and say, all right, let's, instead of 1 point every 10 yards, let's make it 1 point every 12 yards just to level the playing field. You always want to see what those rule changes will mean to how you comparatively evaluate different positional players. And so when I see people saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to take Aaron Rodgers or Drew Brees with my first pick, well, take a look and see how they stack up against running backs and other positions. And if you find that, you know, there's four or five quarterbacks who year after year in your league are clear and away the top performers and that no one comes close to them, maybe 60, 70, 80 fantasy points behind, whereas at running back, players are a little bit tighter because the scoring tends to be lower, then, yeah, maybe you have a point going with the quarterback early. But in this year in particular, I think quarterbacks, there could be 10 quarterbacks who finish in the top three. You know, between the Mannings, between Robert Griffin third, if he's healthy, absolutely. Matthew Stafford could resurge this year. I mentioned Romo and Ryan and Cam Newton. There are guys out there who are very talented, some of them very experienced, and have the ability to put up huge numbers, and they've done it before. With running back, it's somewhat muddled in the same way, but at the same time, I feel much more confident taking C.J. Spiller or Doug Martin or Arian Foster than I do taking Rodgers, Breeze, or Brady with my first pick.
You heard it here. Some surprises dropped. B.J. Riddell, next week, we're going to talk wide receivers and tight ends. We'll be talking defense and special teams, and you're finalizing your draft strategy in the upcoming weeks. Always a great time. We've gotten tons of feedback here while we've been on the air with you, people listening and enjoying hearing you talk and taking your advice. Trust me, you've got some people hanging on your words here. B.J. Riddell, we appreciate you joining us talking fantasy football for winners every Thursday here
Thanks,
on the Sarah. Sports Fix.
Sorry for the delay, and thanks for waiting, and we'll look forward to next week at the normal time. I'll be ready.
Oh, it's all good. I figured out what happened. I saw your message. You called my cell, and it went to voicemail. My cell phone has actually died while we're on the air, and I didn't have time to plug it in, so it's just sitting there turned off right now.
That makes sense. So well, good. I'll have the right number. I'll call the right number next time.
It is all good, and we are so glad you were able to get with us. Hey, man, this is, like I said, it's fluid pieces. We can keep it moving live, Daddy. No big deal. B.J. Riddell, they can find you on Twitter, at B.J. Riddell, and on Facebook, Fantasy Football for Winners, right?
Happy, absolutely. Have
absolutely.
A great week.
You have a great week, too. Watch these preseason games and be ready to talk some more fantasy football next Thursday, 12:35.
Absolutely. Take care.
All right, you too. B.J. Riddell, my man, he's here every Thursday at 12:35, a little bit later sometimes, but it all works out, Daddy, having a good time. Glad you're having a good time with us. We're going to take a break when we come back. Let's keep talking football, Browns football. Let's preview tonight's Browns-Lions game. I'll give you my story notes that I'm looking for because, like I said, there are things you can take out of preseason games. Maybe not the same thing other people take, but there are things you can take. When we come back, we'll preview the Browns and the Lions and talk some more sports right here on the Sports Fix.
And now, a very special announcement from the Sports Fix.
Black bears weigh between 200 and 500 pounds. Brown bears weigh between 300 and over 1,000 pounds. Black bears run away from you. Brown bears run at you. When attacked by a bear, simply lie still on the ground and cover your face and head with your hands. When the bear is finished batting you around and mauling you, contact the U.S. Forest Service.
And that was a message from the Sports Fix.
It's the Sports Fix. We'll be right back.
Portions of the Sports Fix brought to you by Tri-State Quality Builders. Has severe weather damaged your home? Get a quote today at tristatequalitybuilders.com. The engines are cranking and purring, and that can only mean one thing. Bike nights are back at Harry Buffalo North Olmsted. Rev up your hogs and head on down to Harry Buffalo North Olmsted every Monday night. Enjoy $3 drinks and beers,
$5 pizzas,
and crazy wing specials for all bikers, all on their open patio.
Woo-hoo!
Hot bikes, good friends, and great times are waiting for you. 4824 Great Northern Boulevard, right outside Great Northern Mall. Monday bike nights at Harry Buffalo, the proud sponsor of the Sports Fix.
Whether it's an oil change or a new set of tires, Quick Lane at Valley Ford Truck has you covered for your car care needs. They're your neighborhood quick service experts. They also offer a low price tire guarantee. Choose from 13 brands, and if you find the same tires at a lower price within 30 days, Quick Lane at Valley Ford will refund the difference. 5715 Canal Road, right under the 480 Bridge in Valley View. Come see why life is better in the Quick Lane. Quicklane.com/Valley Ford Truck.
Hey, Cleveland, this is Tristan Thompson of the Cleveland Cavaliers, and you're listening to Sports Fix.
Don't just hear the show, be heard. Call us now, 216-539-7535, and get your fix.
And that quarterback, number 19.
That's right. Bernie going to be back at it tonight. Don't be censored. Free Bernie. Don't let Joe Banner hold you down, Bernie Kosar. You do what you got to do. We get to hear him do it tonight. That's the fun part of preseason games. I can't believe such controversy came around Bernie Kosar over a preseason football game. Him and Jim Donovan will be back at it tonight, though. Channel 3 here locally in Cleveland and across the Browns radio network, television network, whatever, however you watch it. Browns and the Lions tonight, they call it the Great Lakes Classic. It's a cool way to put a fancy name on a preseason game. You guys know my thoughts about the preseason in general, but as I said heading into the break, there are always things that you can take out of these games. Tonight, there's going to be some interesting things that I'm going to be watching for and how certain things play out. Welcome back to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you. Phone lines are open, finally, by the way. I know it's been a little bit of a hectic show here. We are opening the phone lines for the last 15 minutes. 216-539-7535 is the number to call. 216-539-7535. What are your thoughts? What are you looking for going into tonight's Cleveland Browns Detroit Lions preseason game number 2? We know that Brandon Whedon will be playing perhaps most of the first half out of the first quarter from last week. He'll play more. I know that we talked yesterday with Andre Knott about how, for some reason, and it drives me nuts, I understand. Listen, I have a daily sports radio show. I have to come up with new content to talk about every day. But sometimes I really just wonder if these people out here, I shouldn't say it like that, if the media in certain genres and in certain places aren't just so desperate for things to write about and talk about, because the way they've taken the Rob Chudzinski comment about the quarterback position and ran with it to write articles and articles. There's a whole breakdown here. Terry Pluto felt the need to break it down and explain to people today in the Plain Dealer why you're not going to see Jason Campbell truly grab this position. Listen, we talked about it. Dre brought it up yesterday. Andre Knott, we've said it over and over. Not a snap. Not a one snap with the number ones has Jason Campbell taken. Jason Campbell is Joe Banner's insurance policy in case Brandon Whedon is as bad that Joe Banner fears he may actually be. That is what it is, and that's what it'll be. You will only see Jason Campbell this season if Brandon Whedon gets hurt or if Brandon Whedon is done. Because the minute you see Jason Campbell, and it doesn't have to do with an injury, that'll be the last game you've seen out of Brandon Whedon as the official starting quarterback going forward for the Browns, because it will mean that they've given up on that. So tonight, he's going to get a full half, and he's going to get a chance to do it with Trent Richardson out there. And again, tonight, we talk about preseason games being vanilla. Tonight is going to be an extra special flavor of vanilla, even more generic if that's humanly possible, because you now have two teams that are not only covering things up from the rest of the league, but these two teams play each other again in the regular season, so you're going to see even less as far as any kind of defensive packages. Everything's going to be your base stuff, but tonight I'm very interested to see Trent Richardson in his first game action get out there. Number one, I think, you know, just to throw out the pink elephant in the room, I'd like to make sure that he gets through this game feeling good, looking good, not injured. He's out there, got a grasp of the new offense. I want to see how he fits into his role in the new offense. I think it's going to be very well, because Norv Turner's always built an offense that really caters to the running back position, and I think he is salivating for the entire last 6 months imagining what he was going to do with a player like Trent Richardson. So whether it turns out the way we hope it does and anticipate, that's what we're going to watch throughout the season. But tonight we get our first look at Trent Richardson, and talking about that running back position, we've brought it up. You guys know this has been kind of one of my things that I've been referring back to for the last few weeks, because he's missed every day but one just about. Montario Hardesty. Now, the Browns, and I'll give them credit. And you know what? I'll give them credit over the previous regime, because I truly believe Brandon Jackson, a fantastic example, that with the last Browns regime, your lot in life was cast with them from day one. Whenever they slotted you somewhere, or whenever they decided something about you, there wasn't a whole lot of evolution as far as their thought process. Once you were, I guess you want to use a generic term, in the doghouse, you stayed there. If they saw you as not a starting player, you weren't a starting player. And you didn't get the chance to change that unless multiple injuries put you into that position. It just seemed like they locked onto their opinion of many a player. Like I said, Brandon Jackson, the perfect example of that. Now here, as much as we've talked about Montario Hardesty being injured throughout training camp, and now the thumb not broken, it's dislocated, but he's getting the knee cleaned out. Instead, he's going to be gone another 3 to 4 weeks. Now, when he comes back, you're literally going to be at crunch time. The Browns are going to have a big decision to make with him there. Now, I will give them credit. They, you know, say all the right things here when it comes to this. And, you know, talking to Chud, and as I told you yesterday, if I'm going to tell you guys that when Chud talks, you know, you really feel that you're being talked to honestly, then that has to apply across the board. So I'm going to apply that here too. He said it very professionally. We're going to help him recover. We're going to see where we're at. But he honestly said the next few weeks, the other running backs are going to have opportunities to step in. And where we are with Montario in 3 or 4 weeks will, in a lot of ways, depend on where and how we are and what they've done with the other running backs that have gotten this opportunity along the way. So, again, it's not set in stone that he's not going to have a roster spot. And if the other running backs, you know, falter over the next few weeks, I think that re-cracks the door for Montario Hardesty. But I truly believe that this, you know, may be the death knell for him. Especially, we're going to see Deion Lewis. He's going to be the number two back tonight. Yesterday, when we were talking to Andre, one of the things that came up was, you know, once the regular season hits, if Trent Richardson's out for any significant length of time, if he's out at all, if he needs a breather, Deion Lewis, is he strictly a scat back? Is he strictly coming out of the backfield? Or is he running through the tackles? Because he showed in the first week of the preseason that he wasn't afraid to run between the tackles, and he actually did quite well at that. So, but doing that during the regular season, completely different thing than doing that during the preseason. But that's going to be part of the play tonight. Deion Lewis is going to get out there with the twos. Like I said, Brandon Whedon's going to be out there. The main things that we've pretty much talked about for the last week or so since the last preseason game, and the main position battles are all still in play. A lot of positions are set down. I'm going to keep an eye in the second half on the wide receivers, because you've got several guys who are going to be competing for perhaps the last wide receiver spot on this roster. Jordan Norwood, Josh Cooper, there's not room for everybody. Now, David Nelson, he's missed yet more practice this week. He is now... The Browns yesterday basically said they're very, very, very doubtful that they're going to get him ready for the start of the season. And, of course, he came in with the injury concerns, David Nelson, from last year, and not able to get on the field. He's only been on the field for 1.5 practices this entire training camp. So maybe the spot that they were hoping to reserve for him, it opens up there. But Josh Cooper, Jordan Norwood, those guys competing for who's going to possibly get that last wide receiver spot. I'm really interested to watch those guys. I love Jordan Norwood. There's parts of his game that I really like, and I'd like to see him continue, even if he doesn't make this roster. I really hope, and I don't know if they can, though, but I hope that the Browns find some way to keep him with the practice squad. I mean, that's obviously, if you cut him, you lose control of that situation, and I'd hate to see him develop somewhere else. I just see a work ethic and a dedication in Jordan Norwood that I think is turning into a good little wide receiver, and I'd really like to see that develop for at least another year here in Cleveland. Josh Cooper, I like Josh Cooper too, but keep an eye on that. That's going to be important. We're going to see more play when it comes to the defensive backfield. TJ Ward's not going to play. He's had several injury issues, and of course, the Browns continue to try and not bring up controversy and not stir up they know the fan base, they know the passion that we've got here. They're doing their best not to stir up controversy, but, you know, TJ Ward being held out cautionary, but again, Leon McFadden most likely not going to play. So you're going to see young guys continue to get their chance tonight. I want to see Josh Aubrey. I want to see Tayshawn Gibson, John Spasmosi. I want to see what those guys do when they get out there and get a chance to play, because these guys are getting opportunities, just like I talked about with the running backs. It's going to be interesting to watch the defensive backfield, to watch that last wide receiver spot. The front lines on offense and defense in the first half, I think, is probably the biggest thing you can take out of the preseason game with the starters tonight. Detroit's got good up front. Hey, they've got good offensive line. They've got good defensive line. That's going to be a battle. I want to see how our offensive line holds up against that defensive line of the Lions tonight. Very curious to see if they continue to show the good things that we've seen. Remember, B.J. Riddell, who was just on the show last week, said many of the services that he works with have the Browns offensive line in the top five or six in the league. So that's going to be a good test for them. It's going to be a good test for the defensive side of the ball to see, after a week of things evolving, how they're able to get at it with the Detroit Lions and their offensive line. So there is another position. And then, of course, the kicking position. Shane Graham won't play tonight. Brandon Bogutei is going to get all of the kicks. And I'll tell you what, from everything Chud's saying, if you read between the lines, the kicking position is Brandon Bogutei's to lose at this point, because he wouldn't commit to Shane Graham kicking next week either. He said that'll be a discussion for next week after we see what happens this week. I think if Brandon Bogutei opens the door tonight by missing some kicks, if Brandon Bogutei opens that door, Shane Graham's there to walk into it. But I truly believe this kid, who had kicked one field goal in his life before this, has somehow, I think he's captured the imagination of this team, because he can kick. He can kick the ball. I've seen him. He can kick some long field goals. He's a work in progress. But I think the Browns are really intrigued by Brandon Bogutei. So there's another position that you're going to see, you know, tonight, what happens there. So we'll look and see. First half, you're going to see more of the starters tonight. Remember, next week is, you know, I guess the closest to what you could call a game in the preseason, because next week you get the dress rehearsal for the first half. You'll see most of your starters tonight. Going to be very interesting, though, to see those battles that I noted. To me, really, that the front four there, I want to see how the Browns hold up the front four of Detroit against that offensive line of the Browns. That, I think, is probably one of the things that I am the most interested in seeing tonight, because, you know, and Brandon Whedon, again, I don't care about his numbers. I don't care if he goes 10 for 13. I don't care if he goes 18 for 20. I'm not really interested in Brandon Whedon's numbers. I want to see them, again, get in and out of the huddle. I want to see them coming out of the huddle with 15, 14 seconds left on the play clock. I want them to continue to not have offsides, continue to not have false starts. Those are the things that I'll be looking for. I want to see if Brandon Whedon continues to be able to keep the offense operating smoothly, because so many years, I mean, people can talk about the Browns for the last few years, but I mean, a lot of times the problem does not just lie on talent. Everybody in the NFL is talented, some more than others. So many years, the Browns have been their own worst enemy in the regular season, almost as much as the teams we play. I mean, how many times have we seen the Browns have opportunities in games that, and you know what they say, hey, good teams find ways to win those games, bad teams find ways to lose those games, you know? The Browns, I think, are in that transition period this year where they'll either learn how to win those games or not. But as I've said, they've got the right coaching staff. They've got the right people in place to develop these guys. Tonight, it'll be an interesting, again, we're not doing Victory Friday tomorrow. We're not raining parades. We're not putting up balloons. But we will be happy if we see more progress, win or lose. We'll be happy if we can continue to see the progress we saw last week. Because as we know, the preseason's great and fun and football's back and all that. But when the curtain drops in September, a lot of times, August becomes a nightmare for some teams. And hopefully the Browns are beyond that stage at this point. Let's get this last break out of the way. When we come back, we're going to wrap things up, because I told you earlier, talking about that Forbes list, the Forbes had another list that came out yesterday, the most overpaid players in the NFL. And guess what? One of the Browns' latest free agent signings was on that list. We're going to wrap things up. Don't go away. Still more to come here on the Sports Fix.
It's an addiction. The Sports Fix will be right back.
Incoming transmission. You got a message.
Sports Fix listeners, don't wait all week to join in on the fun. Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
Follow the Sports Fix on Facebook.
They love friends. It's just a click away. Exclusive contests, trivia, tickets, and giveaways from the hottest sports show in town, The Sports Fix. Become a friend and follow The Sports Fix on Facebook today.
Message.
Joe, thanks for working late last week. Hey, did you guys get hit by that nasty storm over the weekend? The news said it was hailing golf balls right in your area.
We sure did, and it was bad. It tore holes in the roof and tore down the drainage system, too. It did about $10,000 in damage.
Wow. Well, at least you and Susie have homeowners insurance.
Yeah, right. We do. But they're claiming improper coverage and say it has to come out of my pocket. I know my policy is supposed to cover it, but they say it's final. I don't have that kind of money.
My in-laws had the same problem last year when their house flooded. Insurance didn't want to pay out, but they worked with Tri-State Quality Builders, who not only made the repairs, but helped them with their insurance paperwork and got the denied claim accepted.
Really? Who's this again?
Tri-State Quality Builders. They are the home damage repair experts throughout Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. They're with you from step one, assisting policyholders in filing their claims and getting denied claims accepted. They have a 91% success rate in making sure their clients don't come out of pocket one red cent. The best part for my in-laws is Tri-State Quality Builders stuck by their side and guided them through the entire process, making it far less scary. Plus, they're family-owned and in business for over 60 years, so you know you're getting dealt with personally and honestly.
Tri-State Quality Builders sounds exactly like who I need to call. Boy, my wife's going to be glad I talked to you.
Call today and find out how Tri-State Quality Builders can help you recover from catastrophic home damage caused by floods, fire, wind, hail, and more. Cut through all the insurance red tape, keeping your money in your pocket. Call 888-308-3102 or log on to their website, tristatequalitybuilders.com.
Hi, Monsters fans. This is Cameron Gaunce from Cleveland's Lake Erie Monsters, and you're listening to The Sports Fix.
Welcome back to the Sports Fix, wrapping things up. Yes, we're into overtime, but I had to squeeze in a few more minutes because I wanted to bring this up. Of course, the Browns had to find their way onto this list as well. When I was bringing up open earlier in the show, when we were talking about the Forbes list of franchises, Browns, of course, ranked 22nd on that list. I call bull hockey. The Browns are not just America's team, they're the world's team, Daddy. Welcome back to the Sports Fix. J-Rock with you, wrapping things up here. And Forbes had another list that came out. They had the NFL's most overpaid players. Of course, the average NFL player, the lowest players, make $400,000 a year. Nearly 260 NFL players make $5 million or more per season on average. Forbes took the players who perhaps don't match their salary with what they make. Their number one most overpaid player was the fullback for the Minnesota Vikings, Jerome Felton. He makes $2.5 million. Larry Fitzgerald at the top of the list. John Carlson, tight end for the Minnesota. And there we go. For the Minnesota Vikings. Fourth on the list, Paul Kruger, the linebacker that the Browns signed from the Baltimore Ravens. Forbes has him ranked as the fourth most overpaid player in the NFL at just over $8 million a season. LaRon McClain from the Chargers, Craig Stevens from the Titans, Larry Fitzgerald from the Cardinals, Mario Williams, number 8, Orlando Scandrick from the Dallas Cowboys, and Michael Conan, the punter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who makes $3.2 million. Boy, punting's a tough job. $3.2 million. The most overpaid list by Forbes. And so I had to look at the flip side. The most underpaid players, and of course, they did put out that list as well, the most underpaid players in the NFL, such as, you know, Maurice Pouncey. He's 18th overall in the draft, 2010, takes over the starting job. He's got a rookie deal that pays him less than $4 million a year, which makes him the 13th highest paid center in the league, yet he is perhaps one of the best centers in the league just three seasons in. And a lot of times we see, you know, I'm willing to bet as I pull up this list, most of that list is perhaps younger players. It's surprising to me. Number one on the list, the most underpaid player that Forbes predicted for 2013, James Harrison. Of course, Cleveland just loves that guy. James Harrison goes from Pittsburgh, ends up with the Cincinnati Bengals. James Harrison rated by Forbes as the most underpaid player in 2013 in the NFL. Ahmad Bradshaw for the Colts at a salary of less than $2 million. Hakeem Nicks on the list. Devin McCourty from the Patriots. Antoine Winfield. Dez Bryant, number 6 on the list. Carlos Dansby from the Cardinals. Max Starks from the Chargers. John Abraham. Boy, I wanted the Browns to go after him in free agency 2 years ago. John Abraham, number 9, and 10th on that list, the previously mentioned Maurkice Pouncey from the Steelers, $3.5 million to be perhaps the top center in the NFL. Interesting lists, I thought. Wanted to bring that to you. Figured, you know, always look for that small story to wrap things up. Oh, and I wanted to mention, too, hey, OHIO getting ready to get things rolling. How about former Buckeye Troy Smith? You guys hear about that? Troy Smith now, his NFL career perhaps over. He has now moved on to the Canadian Football League. Troy Smith signs with one of the legendary CFL teams, Montreal. Interesting to see the former Buckeye, number 10. Remember Glenville, Ohio State, Heisman Trophy. So many times I wanted him to end up here with the Browns over his career. Well, now he's playing Canadian football. Last night they announced a 2-year contract. Troy Smith now representing C-Town up in C-Country, up in Canada, eh? Go get him, Troy Smith. Hey, go get him, Browns, tonight. It might be a preseason game, but I will say I'd much rather talk about a Browns win tomorrow than a loss. Either way, it's not the end of the world because it's a preseason game. Indians have a night off. Chance to catch their breath. Chance for Indians fans to catch their breath after the roller coaster last 10 days of the Indians. A chance to recharge the batteries tomorrow. Mike Brandenberry from DidTheTribeWinLastNight.com. I'll catch up with him. We'll preview the Oakland series. Who else is with us tomorrow? Ryan Ruiz from The Inscriber talking about the Browns win or lose. We'll break that down tomorrow. Jeff Gorman from Browns 101 will also be with us. Your phone calls and more tomorrow as we wrap up the week hot and heavy like only we can do it here on the Sports Fix. So tell a friend to join us and you be here too because we're going to wrap up the week strong. Thank you to sports writer extraordinaire Jonathan Knight, BJ Riddell, author of Fantasy Football for Winners, for joining us today. Thanks to the phone call. Vince, appreciate it. Everybody in the chat room, on Facebook, on Twitter, all of your comments. We love it. We'll see you tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, talking Browns, Indians, and all the things you want to talk about in a way that nobody else talks about it, live, right here on the Sports Fix, Daddy.
Long nights, cold weather, city, nothing pretty. So much hate up in this itty bitty city. If you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. Put your hands up in the air, everybody say yeah, yeah, yeah.